Amen's from the back. So, I just am in awe every time I get up to speak in the Lord's goodness. And so I just want to take a minute, though, to just say, Lord, we just give you this time. I ask you, Lord, to speak through me what it is you're, help me with the words, Lord, this morning, and just unite our hearts, Lord, to really hear your heart for us as a body, Lord God, and to be able to go forth in all that you have for us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, as Matthew's been sharing, you know, he's been sharing these questions that the Lord has been giving him, and I just think it's awesome because I think, you know, when we look at the Father and we realize that he really does love to ask us questions, he knows the answers. I mean, he knows the answer. But the truth of the matter is, and what I'm discovering more and more, is that he loves relationship with us, and he has given us free will. He didn't just make us puppets that just like, you will do what I say. Now, do what I say. He didn't create us that way. He created us in his image to be in relationship with him and with one another. And it's like he was in this family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they were having this communion with one another, and they were like, hey, let's make ones in our image. Humans that are in our image, and let's multiply, you know, he says, be fruitful and multiply was one of the things he told Adam and Eve. And I've been thinking too more just about what the Lord has called us to here in family. You know, he said, go to Chapel Hill and establish family, and your roots will go deep and your branches will spread wide. And I realize that God, we have all been born into a family on earth, like our physical family. We were born into family, okay? But we were also, when we give our life and our hearts to Jesus, we're born again, and we are adopted in to the family of God. And so, you know, one thing that I've wrestled with is this absolute love and passion for the church and the body of Christ. And sometimes, because I was raised in the church and I was given really a passion for the church from my mom and dad. And I absolutely love the body of Christ, even when it's not always so pretty. I still just was consumed with that passion for the body of Christ, like Jesus talks about, you know. And, but the thing I wrestled with is this thing of like, there is something out there that wants to tell you, almost like puts away the church, like, well, for one, puts down the church constantly, you know, and wants to tell you everything that's negative about the church. You know, when you think about, if you're talking about the bride of Christ, if you're talking about one of my kids and you're going to put them down constantly, I'm going to take issue with you in a minute. You know what I mean? Like that, I'm just saying, as a father's heart. And then we're talking about the bride of Christ, you know. And so I have wrestled with, Lord, what is it that we can have in this love for the church? And we know that the church is not perfect. We know that we're not without spot or without blemish. We know that the body of Christ is made up of people. And that's not going to be perfect, you know. Does anybody have a perfect family? I mean, please, everybody's got their stuff. I was talking to Eva about this morning. I was like, really? Every family on earth has their stuff. Even if you think they look like a great family, believe me, they've got their stuff. if you get up in the middle of it, it's like everybody's the same. Everybody's got stuff they got to deal with because we're human, right. You know. But there's something that I feel like the Lord is really, you know, stirring up in my heart. And bear with me today, because this week in preparing this, it was like, Lord, help me have words for what it is stirring up inside of me, you know. But one of the things was that God has called us to be a family. And then out of that place of family is where you can be released into the world to be that commissioning, where he's commissioned us out of, okay? Right. In other words, we can be commissioned into every realm and influence that God has called us to, you know? So we don't want to be a family that just stays up in the church and just like, you know, has no outflow, you know? But there is absolute value to taking care of family and the family that God has connected us into, because he has created us for that community. And then out of that place of being sons and daughters and growing in family, we are released into the outflow of the commission to the world around us. And, you know, it's like with my kids, they all go to public school. And, I mean, they're in the middle of, you know, just whatever anybody's opinions are in the world, they're in the middle of it, you know. And I understand that, and even, you know, teenagers, middle schoolers, that, shoot, first, second graders, they can be mean. I mean, they can. But I've told my kids, I'm like, when you come home, this is a safe place. So, you know, yes, your brothers and sisters may have to deal with everybody else's ugly opinions about them, but they're not going to deal with that here. And so I'm like, because what we want to be able to do is be a safe place for one another, and we want to call out the good in one another. We want to call each other to who you're really supposed to be. And so, you know, I have a hard time when my kids start picking on each other. I know some people are like, yeah, 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 that's brothers, sisters. I'm like, yeah, 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 no. Because listen, this is your safe place. This is your place you can come home. You can find a safe place to grow and to give each other grace. And realize you're not going to be perfect. So if you see your brother and sister, then they're not doing everything perfect, give them some grace, because tomorrow you're going to need grace. You know? And so I feel that same thing with the body of Christ. Is like, that's what I want our church to be. Is I want us to really champion one another. I want us to go after being community. But, you know, I want us to also go after it being healthy, because we can't give away what we don't have, right. You know. And I have learned that I don't segment my life. In other words, I don't segment, I'm worshiping, and then when I go home, that's when I'm going to be mom, and then there's being a wife. It's all unto the Lord. And I'm telling you what I've learned in being a mom, I've learned lots about the Lord in the presence of the Lord, and prayer, in worship, in gatherings, you know. But I've also learned so much about the Lord in my day in, my day out, being a mom, being a wife, being a daughter. And so I don't segment those parts of my life. It's all worship unto the Lord. It's all worship, you know. And it's out of that place that I have something to give. It's out of that well of times with the Lord on my own that I have a place to give. It's getting in the dirt with my kids when I don't know what to do and crying out to Jesus in the middle of those moments that I have something to give somebody else because he's doing something there, you know? But then there's also been times when I've just been in community and worshiping, like today, good gosh, where I'm just like, I don't want to leave this place. And because I know the Lord is doing something in that place. But it all has value. And what I want to impart maybe a little bit today is just a little bit of what I've learned about family. And I want you to think about it in your own families, because I think it's important. If you have, you know, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, children, that is important. Your family is important, and it's not segmented. It's not, okay, I'm going to come to worship. I'm going to come to this worship meeting. I'm going to do what the Lord's called me to do, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to endure.
Right.
I'm just going, this is just what I have to do. I'm a mom. No. It's all of that, okay? But also an extension also is the family of God. That God has put you in. That Rooted book, I encourage you to do this book with other people in this body, because that's a lot of what it talks about, is being rooted and grounded, being rooted in community and growing together. Mm-hmm. Growing together in what God's called us to. So one of the things I felt like the Lord, that was just kind of like a giving you an overview of a vision of why it is I'm speaking on family, is because I feel like it's important in the body of Christ that we talk about how to do family a little bit, because it's from out of that place that we're going to go out, you know, but we don't want to not take care of what the Lord's doing here in our relationships. This is the place he wants us to grow. He wants us to root and ground in the Lord and with each other. He wants us to love him with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strengths, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so these things are important to him. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I felt like the Lord was highlighting to me this week was that God has made us for connection. He's made us for these relationships. And that's what I was talking about. But the other thing is that he didn't make us robots. He wants us to have a choice. This was a huge thing for me. I when I realized, oh, God really doesn't want us to control one another. Matter of fact, you don't have control over each other. Have you ever tried to control somebody? How's that working for you? It's kind of like, I mean, really, have you ever tried to control a two-year-old? Like, how's that working for you? Like, I'm telling you, it will bring your everything that you thought you had calm and inside just real perfect, and then it'll bring it out like, I said do this. You know, they're just looking at you like, that's great, but what you gonna do about it, you know? And I realized, oh, Lord, God, one of the wildest things is that you chose to put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden with the tree of life, and you gave Adam and Eve a choice. You told them, don't touch that. Don't eat of the, because you knew it was going to be the very best for them not to. But the wildest thing is that God didn't put that tree up on some mountain they couldn't get to. I mean, really? Does that not amaze you? That blew me away. I was like, God, you've given us choices. That means because you want us to respond to you. You want there to be a response to a relationship. You've not created us for a list of rules. You've created us for relationship. And so then taking that the Father has done with us, and then turning that towards your relationships in your families and with one another, is like, for me, it was a paradigm shift that I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not really sure how this works exactly, but you just, I know you're a good teacher, Holy Spirit, and you're going to teach me every day, and you're going to continue to be patient with me because that's who you are, you know. But one of the things is that he reminded me of was the scripture, Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door." Do y'all have that? Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me."
Yeah.
Do you see here? He even honors us and says, "Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking, but I'm waiting for you to open the door to me. I'm waiting for you. And when you do, I'm going to come in. I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to meet with you. But you know what? I'm not going to make you." I mean, how many times do I wish that I could give my relationship to my kids with the Lord? In other words, that I could do it for them. But you know what? God didn't make us that way. He created us with a choice. And so even our children and our friends that we really want to do them to really grab hold of what the Lord has for them, we can't do that for them. Each person has their own choice. They have their choice to follow after the Lord. When Matthew's been preaching about, you know, will we give him our yes? And you know, those questions that the Lord asks. The funny thing is he's asking every person and they each get the answer for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly, when you realize this, it's freedom. It's freedom because you realize I don't have to control my wife, my husband, my mother, my father, my children. I don't have to control them. You know, the only person that I do have responsibility over is myself. And then therefore, my way I treat other people, I am responsible for that. In other words, when somebody else is not doing something that I wish they would be doing, you know, that's not my responsibility. My only responsibility is before the Lord and myself. And, sorry, I don't want to get, this is one of those things that it's like hard to, I hope you guys are getting this.
Good.
It's that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we've been given this choice, and we get a choice on whether we want to pursue and follow after Jesus or whether we don't. And that's day by day. It's saying, Lord, I want the deeper things of you. Lord, I want healing. I want freedom. And you want that for me. You are passionately, he is passionately pursuing each one of us. When we were singing Lion and the Lamb, that song this morning, I was reminded of, I got a vision while we were singing that of in the Chronicles of Narnia. I really have this thing about Lucy because I see myself in her. And when she goes off to see Aslan, like by herself, you know, and gets with him. And there's one time that Aslan comes, I can't remember which one, but it's like they're in this big battle, and Lucy finally goes off to find Aslan, and she finds him in the woods. And he even says to her, "Why didn't you come to me sooner?" And she says that, you know, pretty much everybody else wasn't. They were going on and doing, you know, what they thought was right. And he was like, why should that matter? You know, it's like, you come, you know. And this morning when we were singing that Lion and the Lamb, I saw the Lord. It's that thing of that personal responsibility that he's saying to each one of us, like, you come, you choose me whether anybody else around you is or not. You. I'm asking for you to come away with me. I'm asking for you to look me in the eyes and come away with me and allow me to do in you what I want to do. And then you're going to be able to see some things shift around you. Because it's amazing how when we draw on one another, when or we try to control each other, it's amazing how draining that is. And one thing Matthew and I learned early in our marriage was we had to love Jesus more than we loved each other. And we love each other a lot. I'm not going to lie. I love him a lot. But I realized that I could not draw everything I needed from him. I have to go to Jesus myself. You know? I remember when my mom and dad, when I first went off to Paraguay, Argentina, I went my senior year to live part of my senior year with some missionaries and homeschool, you know, during that time. And I'll never forget that time. And then later in, after my first year of college, I went to YWAM and I did this discipleship training school. Well, I'll never forget being in other countries. South Africa was the place I went to with YWAM, was there for 3 months. And I was completely away from my parents, who had always been my spiritual kind of like go-to, you know? And one time I called my dad and I was like telling him about this problem. And he was like, well, have you talked to Jesus? I was like, well, no. But that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted you to tell me what to do about this problem. And he was like, well, why don't you talk to Jesus and then call me back? I was like, made me so mad. But it was so what I needed. And what happened during that season of my life was I developed a relationship with Jesus on my own that had nothing to do with my mom, my dad. You know, it was just me and Jesus. And that's what each one of us need. But we can't do that for the person next to us. We can't want something more. You know what I mean? We can't want it more than they do. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And it's good to pray and give those things to the Lord and those people to the Lord. But it's freedom to let people go. And let the Lord do what only He can do in their life. And then turn your attention to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. What do you want to speak to me? What do you want to say to me? And then the other thing was in Galatians 6, 1 through 5. I've just discovered this. I think it's pretty wild. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the part that I had always known. The part where it says, you need to bear one another's burdens. You know, and that is true. It says, if any man is overtaken in any trespass. But the wild thing is, if you keep on reading, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. That's kind of contradicting itself if you just read it. It's like, well, hold on, you just said bear one another's and then you said bear your own. I'm confused, you know. But the cool thing is I found out they're different, that bearing one another's burdens and each one bears his own load, they're different in the Greek. And the first one talking about bearing one another's burdens is actually talking about something that, because like it's saying, if a man is overtaken, it's like, if, you know, there's those things in life that, then there's seasons and those moments where It's like somebody is facing something that makes them feel like I feel like I'm gonna be crushed by this. You know, like deaths in your family and things like that, that where it's like people really need you to come alongside of one another and help them bear that boulder kind of thing. You know, it's like a boulder, you know, in their life where they maybe have lost everything and they really need you to come and help, stand with them, say it's going to be, you're going to be okay. This is not going to be the end, you know. But then there's the other part what's talking about bearing. It says, for each one shall bear his own load. And that in the Greek is talking about like a backpack, like a knapsack. Like everybody has their own knapsack, in other words. Like everybody has to get up, brush your teeth, take your shower. I'm telling Matthew, I'm like, okay, I've got certain kids. I am not dressing them anymore. This is, we're done. Which they're done with it too. Obviously, you know. I'm like, you can put her shoes on by herself. You know, like, this is part of growth here. Like, I don't think it's good for me to keep acting like the baby of the family is a baby. She's eight, okay? You know what I mean? Like, but it was like, it's hard sometimes because you want to keep helping. And then the kids start growing up and they need to have jobs. And sometimes it's like you just don't like for them to have to go through hard things in their lives. That you don't want them to have to struggle. Like, can we just make it all a piece of cake? You know, we all have to pay our bills. I'm nervous about this as our kids grow up. Like, do I need to pay your bill? No, not really. You understand what I'm saying? But that would not be healthy if we were to keep carrying their knapsacks. Not to mention that for us, we're going to be flat as a pancake. And we're carrying knapsacks. These were not meant. They're boulders and then there's knapsacks. You know what I mean? There's backpacks that each one of us have to carry. And this is like, I don't know about y'all, but this is like eye-opening for me. Because I'm like, oh, this is really good for my kids or for anybody I know. That there's growth in those things. God created us each to be able to grow in that. There's each one of us to bear our own. This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, you know? So I'm in this place of like, okay, Lord, show me what's the knapsack and what's the boulder. You know what I mean? Like, show me what's their backpack and when I need to help, you know, when I don't, and when it's my place and when it's not, you know? And really that with one another too, you know, is be careful not to try to carry somebody's knapsack. Because if we all get each other's backpacks, then we're actually stunting each other's growth. Wow. Because when we make a choice to go toward the Lord, we take those choices and we make those choices in our own lives to choose Jesus, you know, and to choose to follow Him, and to follow after Him. It's actually healthy for each of us to have to carry our backpacks. We're learning. We're growing. I'm learning. I'm growing. Let me tell you, when we moved here and the Lord said to me, Sarah, it's time to fly. And I was like, hold on, I'm comfortable. We're comfortable. We're the number two people. That means the number one people, they take care of everything, right? I like the number two. Like, I like the associate. That sounds good to me. Don't tell me we have to be the leader. But he says, Sarah, it's time to fly. And I was like, I'm scared. And he was, but what he did was he took me through memories, one after the next, of the Lord coming through, even in really hard things. And I was like, this little thing goes, oh, I trust you. And then it got a little bit bigger as he kept the memories coming. Oh, wait, hold on, I trust you. And then it got a little bit bigger.
I trust you. I trust you. Okay, I really trust you. You are faithful, Father. And then I was ready to be like, yes, Lord, I will follow you in this scary place of carrying my own knapsack and following you. You know what I mean? And then there's times where things, hard struggles come and you want to be like, I'm jumping out of this boat. I'm jumping out. This is not comfortable. I don't like this. You know? And the Lord says, no, this is growth. This is where you're rooting and grounding yourself in my love, and you're going to grow. You're going to grow in me. You're going to discover my goodness here. Just stick with me. Stick with me. And then there are times where we, out of that place, we do turn to one another and we say, hey, let me carry this boulder with you. Okay? I mean, I've had times. My best friend's husband died. And I'm not kidding. It was like day in and day out, all day long, sticking with her for years, really. Years. But then there was a moment when you saw she was ready to fly. You know? And then she would turn to me and go, Sarah, I know I love you. I know you love me. But I got to walk this road by myself. And she knew there was this moment with certain things with her and Jesus. It was going to be just her and Jesus. You know? I couldn't carry her through that moment. You know? And it, you know, it was her being set free from fear. You know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to walk her through every moment that she felt scared. You know? But she realized, hold on, Sarah, you're going to have to let go. I'm going to have to let go of you. This is something Jesus is wanting to do with me. And he's wanting to set me free of fear. And you're not always going to be there. I was like, yeah, I'm not. But Jesus will. And the Holy Spirit will. And those were those moments of growth that were not always, you know, piece of cake and easy, you know. But if we just don't give in sometimes when the road seems rough, you know, and we don't, we choose to say yes to the Lord in those moments and say, yes, Lord, I trust you. You're a good Father. I know that you're leading me into freedom.
Yeah.
You know? And so the is everybody okay? I do feel a little bit like, I told Matthew, I was like, this is a little bit hard. Because I feel like it can feel hard. I don't want this to feel hard. Okay? I'm a grace. Let's talk about grace. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, let's not talk about personal responsibility. But the funny thing was, I woke up one morning this week and I heard it. And that's how I know it's not, you know, it's like that in-between state, you know. And I heard personal responsibility. I was thinking, well, good morning, Jesus. And it wasn't, I wrestled all week. I was like, I don't really want personal responsibility. Can I go back to sleep? You know, but what I've learned this week, what the Lord was saying to me was, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That's the one I was like, Lord, I like to skip over that one. Like, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. But the funny thing was, he was giving me a different perspective this week. He was saying, Sarah, to eat of the fruit of self-control, it's actually really good. I even just saying that, I'm thinking, oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, do you even feel it at all? It's not one of those things you're like, yeah, I want that fruit. I want the fruit of self-control. It's almost like when people would say, oh, I want some patience. I'm like, oh, you pray for patience, you get situations to grow in patience, you know? But it's like, oh, Lord, self-control. I'm going to get some situations to grow in self-control. But what I realized was the fruit of that can be really, really good.
Yeah.
And what he reminded me of, there was a situation this past year with one of my kids. And I realized that I was not going to be able to step in as a parent. It was like the Lord was saying, I'm wanting you to keep your mouth shut for a minute and not step in and fix this. And I was like, oh gosh, because I really have some opinions about this. Somebody was doing some things that I was not appreciative of at all toward my child, you know. But the Lord told me, she's like, no, I want you to be quiet, and I want this child to be able to preserve this relationship with this other person. And I'm going to teach them about how to have brave communication in a healthy way. And then because you're not going to step in right now, you're not going to call the parent of the other person that you could step in with right now. You're not going to do that. I was like, oh, but I really want to because this is really wrong. No, you're not going to do that. And at the end of this, you're going to see that there's still relationship there and you haven't destroyed it by just saying what you thought and stepping in. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. So I walked my child through instead, like, okay, you're going to have some brave communication here. You're going to have to communicate with this person what you're okay with, what you're not okay with in this situation. And it's going to be okay. So I walked my child through this. And do you know what? This other child has been to our house since then, gives me hugs, still loves me. The parent has no clue that anything happened. And we still have relationship with them. That's fruit of self-control. That's the good fruit. Because I didn't just step in with what I really wanted to say. Like, this is wrong and I will not have it. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm learning. You know? It was like, No, you're not going to do that. That's the kind of thing the Lord was showing me this week. It's like, remember, you got to taste some fruit of self-control, of you not trying to control somebody else, but you just talking to your child about what they can control in themselves and being clear about their own boundaries, you know, but not trying to jump in and just control the whole situation and I'm going to fix this. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, I see that. So that's some good fruit. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I didn't totally ruin that relationship. I'm so thankful. And my child grew in it. He grew because he learned how to have this place with you, Jesus. You're set himself into to grow in communication. And so I believe the Lord wants to do that with us more. He wants to give us, he wants to speak to you individually about the little things and help you that way. You understand what I'm saying? And so let me just give you just a four little family tidbits, just real fast. Okay, I'm just going to list them off real fast, okay? Because I know I'm supposed to be talking about family. This is family. This is a big thing, is that if we learn not to control each other and that God hasn't created us to be controlled and he has created us to have choice and to take responsibility for our own selves and our own actions and what and our own relationships with the Lord. That's really one of the things I want to encourage you. Your own relationship with the Lord and your own relationship with each other. You know, these are things that are worth pouring into. But you can't ride off the coattails of the person next to you. I mean, sometimes we wish we could. I mean, you know, we do have those relationships so we can encourage each other. And when we can say, hey, I'm not doing so hot today. Will you pray for me? And tomorrow I'll pray for you. You know, those things are that. But we really have to give each other space and grace to grow where the Lord has us. Amen. And to grow at our own paces, you know, and not expect, you know, something different just because you're at a different place, you know. But these are the things just in your own family, okay? We were created for connection, number one. Number two, we grow together and we get to experience the fruit of one another's lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We get to eat the fruit of one another. That's what we get to give one another, is that fruit that's grown in those places, you know, of day in and day out. And just to know that you were created for connection. You're created, and I'm going to talk real quick just about family, okay? And that's greater family too, but I do want to say some things to some married couples. You need to grow in your connection with your spouse. And you need to give yourself, like, that's important. It's important. And if you are having a hard time with connection, find those things that that other person likes and just go do that with them for a minute. And let the Lord restore connection with one another. But it's important. And if you have children, it's the number one thing you should do first. If you have children, connect with your husband or your wife. Because that being good and secure and safe is one of the best things you could ever do for your kids, is loving your spouse. Loving each other is choosing to do the work it takes. It takes work. It takes work to connect to one another. It takes work to be vulnerable with each other. But it's worth it. You know, I would tell my kids, yeah, we're going on a date. Yeah, some of y'all don't like it because you want us just to be here all the time. But you know what? It's the best thing we could do for you is to go on our date right now. So we'll see you later. You'd be all right. You know, it's really good. Go on dates. Remember who it was you married, the one you fell in love with. Yeah. Don't try to change them, because once you change them, then you're going to be like, hold on. That's not who I married. You know what I mean? Like, let Jesus change them. Believe me, I'm not really who Matthew. I mean, I've changed a lot. I've grown a lot. Matthew's grown a lot. We grow together. But when you try to control them and make them something, it don't work. It's not really great. But so that's one thing, is take care of your relationships with each other in marriage. Make it a priority. Go get counseling. Matthew and I, we've sat down with counseling. I'm not ashamed. I mean, right off the bat, not too long, because we were dealing with things I didn't know which way was up, either one of us. And we had to get somebody else to help us walk through those moments. It's worth it. Don't throw that out. That's not for just somebody else. It's for you. It's for all of us. We all need help sometimes to get through those things. And then the other thing is connection with your kids. If you have kids, sow into time of connection with your little kids. Those that have little babies, little kids, you know, the best time now when they're little, get on the floor, play Legos, get on the floor, do something they're doing, and just have fun with them, because that connection will carry through the teenager years. You'll have to keep connecting with their heart. But I'm telling you, that time you spend connecting with their heart when they're little will help when they get older and they're bigger. And you're thinking, why are they listening to me? They big old. They could just walk out the door. That's because they're connected to your heart by that point. And they're caring what you're saying. Because you are the greatest influence in your children's lives. You will be the greatest influence. There will be no teenage friends that will hold a candle to really how much they care about what you think. So be careful with that. That's a privilege. It's a privilege you're given to speak in. So be careful with the words you say to your children. Realize they're people. They are people. They're not just your kids. Do whatever they want. They're people. They have hearts. They have feelings. You know? So take care of that connection. Laugh. Have fun. Laugh. Have fun. This morning, Anna Grace was in the bathroom. She was singing this song, and she was singing, and she totally sang the wrong words, but it was, she was singing this I'm thankful song, and then she started singing, because you know how to have fun. And it really was something totally different, but you know how it's like, you know, that whole game where it's like, yeah, that's not the words to that song. But that's the words she was singing, and it was speaking to me. Because she was saying to the Lord, you know how to have fun. He knows how to have fun. We should be ones who should remember how to have fun. We should go have fun. Go have fun. Have fun with your husbands, with your wives, with your children, with your friends. Just find a way to have fun. Loosen up a little bit. Give yourself a break and give them a break. And go get some ice cream. I'm not even kidding. We moved here and it was hard. It was a hard move for my kids. They were leaving friends behind. But the thing I found out from somebody older than me that had been pastoring for a long time with their kids, they said, sometimes you just need to tell them, listen, if you'll pay attention and get through this, then at the end, we're going to go get some ice cream. And I'm telling you, it helped so much for the first 2 years of us going to Sunday night worship. And my kids were tired. And I was like, okay, when we're done, we're going to Yopo. And I'm telling you, we went to Yopo. We had fun. And it was like, let's just go get some ice cream, you know. I had a friend that was a missionary, and he said there were days he was homeschooling on the mission field. And he said there were some days we were just, we would plow in, we'd do the hard work. There were some days I was just like, psh, we're going to get some ice cream. And she said, I think he said, didn't say ice cream, I said, we're going to get a Snicker bar, you know, or something. He just, you know, you need to know when there's days that you need to look at the ones you love and go, oh, let's just go get some ice cream. Let's go have some fun. Let's stop thinking too much. Yeah. Do you ever have those days where you're just thinking too much? And the Lord knows how to have fun. And He wants to have fun with us here. He wants to have fun. He wants to have fun with all of y'all. And that's part of being family. And the last thing is that through all this, that we would be able to pray for one another, love one another, and to stay teachable with each other. It's like not being the know-it-all. I mean, the Lord says that to me. Don't be the know-it-all. Stay teachable with me. Stay teachable with me. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. You're going to grow. You're going to let your roots go deep. You're going to let your branches stretch wide. You're gonna learn from one another. You're gonna learn from me, and you're gonna learn from each other. And so, if that helps you at all, I hope. I just want to stand. I want y'all to stand. I want to pray for you. I really believe that God has called us together as a family of God, and that He wants to make us a place that's a safe place, a healthy place, that we can be launched out of here, that we can launch many. He's going to use us to multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He's going to use us to multiply from this place what He wants to do. But He wants to start with us. He wants to start with us each individually. He wants to say to you, like, Let's just start with you. Let's just start with you. Let's, right now, if you want to, I just want you to just close your eyes and get before the Lord. And just, Lord, I just ask you that you would just come, that you would wash over us, that you would renew our hearts, Lord God, that you would that you would remove all the boxes and all the things, Lord, that have that make us feel just shut down, Lord, and that we would be able to behold you stand at the door and knock. And Lord, we want to open up that door to you, and we want to invite you on in. Lord, we want to meet with you. We want to dine with you, Holy Spirit. Lord, and we want you to come and do what only you can do in each one of us, Lord. And Lord, right now we just say we let go of control in any way. Lord, we repent of any control we have thought we could have over anybody around us, Lord. And Lord, we release them to you, Lord, and we ask you as we get out of the way, Lord, we ask you to come. Lord, you are the greatest pursuer of hearts of anybody, Lord Jesus. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, just to pursue our hearts and to pursue the hearts of those we love, Lord God, and that you would just teach us, Lord, what it looks like, Lord, to grow in the fruit of self-control. Lord, to grow in the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience with one another, Lord. And Lord, that you would help us to learn what it looks like to be able to have fun.
Yeah.
The pressure's off.
I like that.
The pressure's off. And Lord, that there's freedom when we let go of control. There really is. It's freeing. When we say, Lord, we give you control, Lord. And I just ask you to bless each person in this room and bless the families in this room. Bless the connections of the hearts, Lord, in the families in this room. Bless those connections, Lord. Restore connections, Lord, where there has been brokenness, Lord. We ask you to breathe life on the connections of the heart, Lord. Amen. That where any of the hearts feel just dry and even just, especially marriages, Lord, I just ask you to restore the connections in the marriages. Lord, restore relationships with children and families. And just bless the families in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was good, wasn't it?